good, very good, very good. Sakshi has come online. We have to welcome Sakshi. Hari Bol. Let's see what Sakshi has for me. And Mark is on. Thank you, Prabhuji. Okay. Your baby and your husband not feeling good. That's not good. Then I'll have to dedicate this program to them. Yes. Mark. Very good, Mark. Hari Bol, Mark. My life and soul, who does such a great job on the website. Oh, Mark, you are just wonderful. I told you, I sent you an email telling you how Shekhar Agarwal here in California just loves what you did with the website. He just thinks it's super fantastic. So, Mark, I'm going to do one more rock and roll song, and then we're going to start the program, the Nisringa Day program, and it should be a long program because I'm going to do a very extensive reading. So, Mark, this is the last rock and roll song for today, and I'm dedicating it to you. Just let me get everything going here because I'm recording. Mark, you're my life and soul. And Sakshi, we're going to dedicate the Nisringa Katha to your husband and your baby so that they feel better. And just give me a second here. All righty. Let me see if I have the words to this song. This is a song written by my wife. I don't have the words, but I'll have to do it from memory. All right. So this is the final rock and roll song. This is called Mother Yashoda.
Mother Yashoda loves little Gopal. With loving eyes, she looks upon his sweetly smiling face. The love she feels we'll never understand. It's a transcendental taste. Woo! Mother Yashoda loves little Gopal, 'cause he's her little boy. Ooh! With silken cloth and shining pearls, she dresses him each day. While all his friends, they love to watch him just before they go to play.
Hari Bol, Madan.
Mother Yashoda loves little Gopal, 'cause he's her little boy. Ooh. Mother Yashoda loves little Gopal. The task times of her son, while all his friends they love to watch him, it's her heart he has won. Woo! Mother Yashoda loves little Gopal.
Hari Bol, Madan.
'Cause he's her little boy. Ooh. Mother Yashoda loves little Gopal. He gives her transcendental joy.
Take it away, Eric. What do you think, Mark?
Mother Yashoda loves little Gopal, 'cause he's her little boy. Ooh. Mother Yashoda loves little Gopal. He gives her transcendental joy.
Mother, you shut up. Love, little girl, Paul. Cause he's her little boy. Ooh. Mother, you shut up. Love, little girl, Paul. He gives a transcendental joy. Yeah! Everybody! Mother, you showed up. Love, little girl, Paul.
Hurry, bold, go, Paul.
Cause he's her little boy.
All right, so that ends the rock and roll for today. And I'm glad to see... Whoa, no. Can't have that now, folks. Can't have that. Got to turn this guy off. All right, very good. So we're going to do... Yes, very good, Divyesh. Very good. So, boys and girls, we're going to do a Nisringa Kata today. Oh, Madan, you're in fantastic. You're in ecstasy. Good, Madan. If I was there, I'd give you a big hug. Madan, if anybody doesn't know, Madan, whenever he sees me, I have to give him a big hug. Because Madan is a very nice... Oh, Divyesh, it's not a question. I need you. We want you. But I know you have to go, Divyesh. Because it's probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, right? Okay. Very good. Madan got his hug. Very good, Madan. Very good. So we're going to start now the Nisringa Kata. And if you want to follow along, it'll be from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 7th canto, and we'll be reading the chapter summaries, in starting with the 5th canto. Prabhupada wrote chapter summaries for every chapter. So if you have the Veda base or you have the book, you want to go to the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 7, starting with chapter 1, and you want to find the chapter summaries. We're going to be reading the chapter summaries. There's 10 chapters that deal with this Nisringa Kata. So we're going to read those 10 chapter summaries so you can all follow along. We'll begin by chanting some preliminary bhajan to put us in a good sattvic mood. So you can follow along. Very good, Sakshi. And then, so that's the first one. We're going to do the first 10 chapters. Let's all chant.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini.
Sing with me. Sing along.
Namaste Saraswate Devi Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Nitai Gauranga Nitai Gauranga Nitai Gauranga Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Jaya Gaura Hari Nitai Gauranga Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Nitai Gauranga Gaura Hari Nitai Gauranga Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Nitai Gauranga Gaura Hari Nitai Gauranga Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Gaura Hari Nitai Gauranga Gaura Hari Nitai Gauranga Gaura Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gobi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Yamuna Tira Vannachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya 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 Om Namo Bhagavate Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So now we're going to begin our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, starting with the chapter summaries, and we're beginning with the first chapter of the 7th canto. I just want to recognize all my students online. We have Aditi, Batuk, Gopal, Madan. They're from Los Angeles, from Bhaktivedanta Manor in England. We have Divyesh from Rupanuga Vedic College, but actually he's in North Dakota. My webmaster, Mark, in Santiago. We have Sakshi Gopal. And from Vancouver, we have Bhakti Devi Dasi. And I want everyone to know that by Bhakti Devi's determination, devotion, and her surrender, she has arranged that I will be going for 1 week to preach in Vancouver. I'm going in August. I'll be there for the Balaram Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Balaram. And that's all because of Bhakti Devi Dasi from Vancouver. So I want to give blessings. Sakshi says, Jai. All right, so now we're going to do this reading. And this is going to be a little long. So this will be a surrender on your part. Because I want to cover the whole Leela of Lord Nisringa. It's 10 chapters, but of course, we're just reading the chapter summaries. So just hang in there. And because tomorrow is the appearance of Lord Nisringadev, so I want to cover this whole section. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, the first chapter is entitled, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. These chapter summaries were written by Prabhupada, as I mentioned earlier. Beginning with Canto 5, Prabhupada wrote these chapter summaries for every chapter of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada writes, In this chapter, in response to a question by Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami gives his conclusions concerning how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although the Supersoul, friend and protector of everyone, killed the Daityas, the demons, for the sake of Indra, the King of Heaven. In his statements, he totally refutes the arguments of people in general who accuse the Supreme Lord of partiality. Shukadeva Goswami proves that because the body of the conditioned soul is infected by the three qualities of nature, dualities arise, such as enmity and friendship, attachment and detachment. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, there are no such dualities. Even eternal time cannot control the activities of the Lord. Eternal time is created by the Lord, and it acts under His control. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, is always transcendental to the influence of the three modes of nature, or Maya, the Lord's external energy, which acts in creation and annihilation. Thus, all the demons killed by the Supreme Lord attain salvation immediately. The second question raised by Parikshit Maharaj concerns how Shishupal, although inimical toward Krishna from his very childhood, and always blaspheming Krishna, attained salvation in oneness when Krishna killed him. Shukadeva Goswami explains that because of their offenses at the feet of devotees, two attendants of the Lord in Vaikuntha, named Jai and Vijay, became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha in Satya Yuga, and Ravan and Kumbhakarna in the next Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Shishupal and Dantavakra at the end of Dwarapar Yuga. Because of their fruitive acts, Jai and Vijay agreed to become the Lord's enemies, and when killed in that mentality, they attained salvation in oneness. Thus, even if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in envy, he or she attains salvation. What then is to be said of devotees who always engage in the Lord's service with love and faith? So that's the first chapter. We're going to cover 10 such chapters. As you can see, Prabhupada summarizes all the main points of the chapter. So this is a very nice way where you can read the Bhagavatam in large sections and get a good gist of what the Bhagavatam is teaching. So now the second chapter, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. As described in this chapter, after the annihilation of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha's sons and his brother, Hiranyakashipu, were very much aggrieved. Hiranyakashipu reacted very sinfully by trying to diminish the religious activities of people in general. However, he instructed his nephews about a history just to diminish their aggrievement. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as the boar and killed Hiranyakashipu's brother, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu was very much aggrieved. In anger, he accused the Supreme Personality of Godhead of being partial to his devotees and derided the Lord's appearance as Varaha to kill his brother. He began to agitate all the demons and Rakshasas and disturb the ritualistic ceremonies of the peaceful sages and other inhabitants of earth. For want of the performance of yajna, or sacrifice, the demigods began wandering unseen on earth. After finishing the ritualistic funeral ceremonies of his brother, Hiranyaksha began speaking to his nephews, quoting from the Shastras about the truth of life. To pacify them, he spoke as follows. So this is quite interesting. Hiranyakashipu is the king of the demons, but at this funeral service, he quotes from the Shastras. How very interesting. So here's Hiranyakashipu speaking at the funeral. My dear nephews, for heroes to die before the enemy is glorious. According to their different fruitive activities, living entities come together within this material world and again are separated by the laws of nature. We should always know, however, that the spirit soul, which is different from the body, is eternal, unadjustable, pure, all-pervading, and aware of everything. When bound by the material energy, the soul takes birth in higher or lower species of life according to varying association, and in this way receives various types of bodies in which to suffer or enjoy. One's affliction by the conditions of material existence is the cause of happiness and distress. There are no other causes, and one should not be aggrieved upon seeing the superficial actions of karma. So it is quite amazing. Here is the king of the demons And he sounds just like an ISKCON preacher giving a Bhagavad Gita class. How very curious. In other words, he is saying all of this, but you will see, actually he doesn't believe it. Because we have an expression, actions speak louder than words. So for Hiranyakashipu, this is just political banter. He's just saying this because it's customary, and this is what people expect to hear at a funeral service. But in reality, Hiranyakashipu believes none of it, and that's because he's a demon. We continue. Hiranyakashipu then related a historical incident concerning a king, Suyagya, who resided in the country named Ushinara. When the king was killed, his queens, overwhelmed with grief, received instructions, which Hiranyakashipu quoted to his nephews. Hiranyakashipu related an account of a Kalinga bird pierced by the arrow of a hunter while lamenting for his wife, who had also been shot by the same hunter. By narrating these stories, Hiranyakashipu pacified his nephews and other relatives and relieved them of lamentation. Thus, having been pacified, Diti, and that's the mother of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and Rushabhanu, Hiranyakashipu's mother and sister. And so Diti is the mother and Rushabhanu is Hiranyaksha's wife. Engage their minds in spiritual understanding. So now in this chapter, you'll see how everything he just said is nullified by his actions. So now, chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. This chapter describes how Hiranyakashipu performed a severe type of austerity for material benefit, thus causing great distress throughout the universe. Even Lord Brahma, the chief personality within this universe, became somewhat disturbed and personally went to see why Hiranyakashipu was engaged in such a severe austerity. Hiranyakashipu wanted to become immortal. He wanted not to be conquered by anyone, not to be attacked by old age and disease, and not to be harassed by any opponent. Thus, he wanted to become the absolute ruler of the entire universe. With this desire, he entered the valley of Mandara Mountain and began practicing a severe type of austerity and meditation. Seeing Hiranyakashipu engaged in this austerity, the demigods returned to their respective homes. But while Hiranyakashipu was thus engaged, a kind of fire began blazing from his head, disturbing the entire universe and its inhabitants, including the birds, beasts, and demigods. When all the higher and lower planets became too hot to live on, the demigods, being disturbed, left their abodes in the higher planets and went to see Lord Brahma, praying to him that he curtail this unnecessary heat. The demigods disclosed to Lord Brahma Hiranyakashipu's ambition to become immortal, overcoming his short duration of life, and to be the master of all the planetary systems, even Dhruva Loka. Upon hearing about the purpose of Hiranyakashipu's austere meditation, Lord Brahma, accompanied by the great sage Bhrigu and great personalities like Daksha, went to see Hiranyakashipu. He then sprinkled water from his kamandalu, a type of water pot, upon Hiranyakashipu's head. Hiranyakashipu, the king of the Daityas, bowed down before Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe, offering respectful obeisances again and again, and offering prayers. When Lord Brahma agreed to give him benedictions, he prayed not to be killed by any living entity, not to be killed in any place, covered or uncovered, not to die in the daytime or at night, not to be killed by any weapon on land or in the air, not to be killed by any human being, animal, demigod, or any other entity, living or non-living. He further prayed for supremacy over the entire universe and requested the 8 yogic perfections such as Anima and Lagima. Chapter 4. Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. This chapter fully describes how Hiranyakashipu obtained power from Lord Brahma and misused it by harassing all the living entities within this universe. By severe austerities, Hiranyakashipu satisfied Lord Brahma and obtained the benedictions he desired. After he received these benedictions, his body, which had been almost entirely consumed, was revived with full beauty and a luster like gold. Nonetheless, he continued to be envious of Lord Vishnu, unable to forget Lord Vishnu's having killed his brother. Hiranyakashipu conquered everyone in the 10 directions and in the 3 worlds and brought all living entities, both demigods and asuras, under his control. Becoming the master of all places, including the residents of Indra, whom he had driven out, he began enjoying life in great luxury and thus became mad. All the demigods but Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva came under his control and began serving him. But despite all his material power, he was not satisfied because he was always puffed up, proud of transgressing the Vedic regulations. All the Brahmins were dissatisfied with him and they cursed him with determination. Eventually, all the living entities within the universe, represented by the demigods and sages, prayed to the Supreme Lord for relief from Hiranyakashipu's rule. Lord Vishnu informed the demigods that they and the other living entities would be saved from the fearful conditions created by Hiranyakashipu. Since Hiranyakashipu was the oppressor of all the demigods, the followers of the Vedas, the cows, the Brahmins, and the religious saintly persons, and since he was envious of the Supreme Lord, he would naturally be killed very soon. Hiranyakashipu's last exploit would be to torment his own son, Prahlad, who was a Mahabhagavat, an exalted Vaishnava. Then his life would end. When the demigods were thus reassured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone was satisfied. Knowing that the miseries inflicted upon them by Hiranyakashipu would come to an end. Finally, Narada Muni describes the characteristics of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Hiranyakashipu, and described how his father envied his own qualified son. In this way, the chapter ends. So this 7th canto is a narration, a conversation between Narada Muni and Maharaj Yudhisthira. The scene is during the Rajasuya sacrifice when Krishna used his Sudarshan Chakra to kill Shishupal. So everyone saw at that time the spirit soul of Shishupal like a meteor, like a shooting star, left Shishupal's body and entered Krishna's body. And everyone at the Rajasuya sacrifice saw that. So Yudhishthira questioned Narada, how was this, what was this all about? So this seventh canto is Narada Muni instructing Yudhishthira. The entire seventh canto, all 15 chapters, is Narada Muni preaching to Maharaj Yudhishthira. So right now, he's explaining this Prahlad, Nisringa, and Hiranyakashipu pastime. So now we will go to chapter 5, Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not carry out the order of his teachers, for he was always engaged in worshipping Lord Vishnu. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj even by having a snake bite him and by putting him under the feet of elephants, yet he was unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, Shukracharya, had two sons named Shanda and Amarka, to whom Prahlad Maharaj was entrusted for education. Although the teachers tried to educate the boy Prahlad in politics, economics, and other material activities, he did not care for their instructions. Instead, he continued to be a pure devotee. Prahlad Maharaj never liked the idea of discriminating between one's friends and enemies, because he was spiritually inclined. He was equal to everyone. Once upon a time, Hiranyakashipu inquired from his son what the best thing was that he had learned from his teachers. Prahlad Maharaj replied that a man engrossed in material consciousness of duality, thinking this is mine and that belongs to my energy, my enemy, should give up his householder life and go to the forest to worship the Supreme Lord. When Hiranyakashipu heard from his son about devotional service, he decided that his small boy had been polluted by some friend in school. Thus he advised the teachers to take care of the boy so that he would not become a Krishna-conscious devotee. However, when the teachers inquired from Prahlad Maharaj why he was going against their teachings, Prahlad Maharaj taught the teachers that the mentality of ownership is false and that he was therefore trying to become an unalloyed devotee of Lord Vishnu. The teachers, being very angry at this answer, chastised and threatened the boy with many fearful conditions. They taught him to the best of their ability and then brought him before his father. Hiranyakashipu affectionately took his son Prahlad on his lap and then inquired from him what the best thing was that he had learned from his teachers. As usual, Prahlad Maharaj began praising the nine processes of devotional service, such as Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting about God. Thus, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, being extremely angry, chastised the teachers, Shanda and Amarka, for having wrongly trained Prahlad Maharaj. The so-called teachers informed the king that Prahlad Maharaj was automatically a devotee and did not listen to their instructions. When they proved themselves innocent, Hiranyakashipu inquired from Prahlad where he had learned Vishnu Bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj replied that those who are attached to family life do not develop Krishna consciousness, either personally or collectively. Instead, they suffer repeated birth and death in this material world and continue simply chewing the chewed. Prahlad explained that the duty of every man is to take shelter of a pure devotee and thus become eligible to understand Krishna consciousness. Enraged at this answer, Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlad Maharaj from his lap. Since Prahlad was so treacherous that had he become a devotee of Vishnu, who had killed his uncle Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu asked his assistants to kill him. The assistants of Hiranyakashipu struck Prahlad with sharp weapons, threw him under the feet of elephants, subjected him to hellish conditions, threw him from the peak of a mountain, and tried to kill him in thousands of other ways, but they were unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu therefore became increasingly afraid of his son, Prahlad Maharaj, and arrested him. The sons of Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, Shukracharya, began teaching Prahlad in their own way, but Prahlad Maharaj did not accept their instructions. While the teachers were absent from the classroom, Prahlad Maharaj began to preach Krishna consciousness in the school, and by his instructions, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became devotees like him. We're going to take a little break here because we've reached the halfway point. So we're going to chant a short bhajan, and then we'll start part two. Very good. Hari Bol. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Ahima. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Ahimam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Ahimam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Ahimam. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So now we will begin the second half, and I see some more people have come online. I see that we have Krishna Mayi has joined us, Hari Bol. And for those of you who are still with us, very good, because it's not easy to sit and just hear or read. It's an austerity. I can appreciate that. But because tomorrow is Nisringa Chaturdashi, then we are doing this. It's an austerity, but it's very pleasing to Krishna. So please try to hang in there. Hari Bol to Shailendra and her family, Shamagori. All right, let us now pick up where we left off. We're in the Srimad Bhagavatam chapter summaries found in the 7th canto. We're on chapter number 6. Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates. Now, this chapter describes Prahlad Maharaj's instructions to his class friends. In speaking to his friends, who were all sons of demons, Prahlad Maharaj stressed that every living entity, either in human society, especially in human society, must be interested in spiritual realization from the very beginning of life. When human beings are children, they should be taught that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the worshipable deity for everyone. One should not be much interested in material enjoyment. Instead, one should be satisfied with whatever material profits are easily obtainable. And because the duration of one's life is very short, one should utilize every moment for spiritual advancement. One may wrongly think, in the beginning of our lives, let us enjoy material facilities, and in old age, we may become Krishna conscious. Such materialistic thoughts are always useless, because in old age, one cannot be trained in the spiritual way of life. Therefore, from the very beginning of life, one should engage in devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting about God. This is the duty of all living entities. Material education is infected by the three modes of nature, but spiritual education, for which there is a great need in human society, is transcendental. Prahlad Maharaj disclosed the secret of how he had received instructions from Narada Muni. By accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, who is in the parampara succession, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. In accepting this mode of activity, there is no need for material qualifications. After Prahlad Maharaj's class friends had listened to Prahlad, they inquired how he had become so learned and advanced. In this way, the chapter ends. Chapter 7. What Prahlad learned in the womb. In this chapter, to dissipate the doubts of his class friends, the sons of the demons, Prahlad Maharaj states how, within the womb of his mother, he had heard from the mouth of Narada Muni, who had instructed him in Bhagavat Dharma. When Hiranyakashipu left his kingdom and went to the mountain known as Mandarachala to execute severe austerities, all the demons scattered. Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadhu, was pregnant at that time, and the demigods, mistakenly thinking that she carried another demon in her womb, arrested her. Their plan was that as soon as the child took birth, they would kill him. While they were taking Kayadhu to the heavenly planets, they met Narada Muni, who stopped them from taking her away and took her to his ashram until Hiranyakashipu's return. In Narada Muni's ashram, Kayadhu prayed for the protection of the baby in her womb, and Narada Muni reassured her and gave her instructions on spiritual knowledge. Taking advantage of those instructions, Prahlad Maharaj, although a small baby within the womb, listened very carefully. The spirit soul is always apart from the material body. There is no change in the spiritual form of the living entity. Any person above the bodily conception of life is pure and can receive transcendental knowledge. This transcendental knowledge is devotional service, and Prahlad Maharaj, while living in the womb of his mother, received instructions in devotional service from Narada Muni. Any person engaged in the service of the Lord through the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master is immediately liberated, and being free from the clutches of Maya, he or she is relieved of all ignorance and material desires. The duty of everyone is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and thus become free from all material desires. Regardless of the material condition in which one is situated, one can achieve this perfection. Devotional service is not dependent on the material activities of austerity, penance, mystic yoga, or piety. Even without such assets, one can achieve devotional service through the mercy of a pure devotee. Chapter 8. Lord Narsingadev slays the king of the demons. So, tomorrow, which is the appearance of Lord Narsinga, is at sunset or dusk. And so this chapter talks about how Lord Narsinga appeared in this material world. Chapter 8. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in front of the demon as Sri Nrikeshwari, half lion and half man, and killed him. So now you have another name for Lord Narsinga, Nrikeshwari. Very good. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this attachment became pronounced, their teachers, Shanda and Amarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Prahlad Maharaj fell down at his feet and said many things just to pacify him. But he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and he began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading and that everything is under Him and that no one is equal to or greater than Him. Thus, he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnava son whether his god existed within the columns of the palace, and Prahlad Maharaj immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his young son, he derided the boy's statement as just the talk of a child and forcefully struck the pillar with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Narasingha, half lion and half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinarily wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death, and thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time, and in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing him with his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pittas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpurushas, the Vaitalikas, the Kinnaras, and also many other varieties of beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was brilliant as he sat on the throne. So we got two more chapters to read, but since we just heard the killing of Hiranyakashipu, we are going to sing the song of Prahlad. The song that we sing, now is the time to do it. So we're going to sing the prayers to Lord Narasingha, since the Lord has just killed Hiranyakashipu.
Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya.
On the guitar.
Jai Narasimhadev, 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 Jai Narasimhadev. Jai Narasimhadev, 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 Jai Narasimhadev. Narasimhadev,
Jai. Jai, Jai. All right, let's finish up the next two, last two chapters. And let's see, we now have 17 people online, so that means we added a few, but they have not signed in. Very good. Everybody has stayed. All right, so, because I was actually afraid people were going to leave because it's a reading. So we have two more chapters to finish up. Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies Lord Nrisimhadev with prayers. As related in this chapter, Prahlad Maharaj, following the order of Lord Brahma, pacified the Lord when the Lord was extremely angry after having killed Hiranyakashipu. After Hiranyakashipu was killed, the Lord continued to be very angry, and the demigods headed by Lord Brahma could not pacify him. Even Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the constant companion of Narayan, could not dare come before Lord Nrisimhadev. Then Lord Brahma asked Prahlad Maharaj to go forward and pacify the Lord's anger. Prahlad Maharaj, being confident of the affection of his master, Lord Nrisimhadev, was not afraid at all. He very gravely appeared before the Lord's lotus feet and offered him respectful obeisances. Lord Nrisimhadev, being very much affectionate toward Prahlad Maharaj, put his hand on Prahlad's head, and because of being personally touched by the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj immediately achieved Brahma Gyan, spiritual knowledge. Thus, he offered his prayers to the Lord in full spiritual knowledge and full devotional ecstasy. The instructions given by Prahlad Maharaj in the form of his prayers are as follows. Prahlad said, I am not proud of being able to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I simply take shelter of the mercy of the Lord, for without devotion, one cannot appease him. One cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by dint of high parentage or great opulence, learning, austerity, penance, or mystic power. Indeed, these are never pleasing to the Supreme Lord, for nothing can please him but pure devotional service. Even if a non-devotee is a brahmana qualified with the 12 brahminical symptoms, one cannot be very dear to the Lord. Whereas if a person born in a family of dog eaters is a devotee, the Lord can accept one's prayers. The Lord does not need anyone's prayers. But if a devotee offers his or her prayers to the Lord, the devotee benefits greatly. Ignorant persons born in low families, therefore, can sincerely offer heartfelt prayers to the Lord, and the Lord will accept them. As soon as one offers his or her prayers to the Lord, one is immediately situated on the Brahman platform. Lord Nrisimhadev appeared for the benefit of all human society, not only for Prahlad's personal benefit. The fierce form of Lord Nrisimhadev may appear most awful to a non-devotee, but to the devotee, the Lord is always affectionate as he is in other forms. Conditioned life in the material world is actually extremely fearful. Indeed, a devotee is never afraid of anything else. Fear of material existence is due to false ego. Therefore, the ultimate goal of life for every living entity is to attain the position of being servant of the Lord. the miserable condition of the living entities in the material world can be remedied only by the mercy of the Lord. Although there are so-called material protectors like Lord Brahma and the other demigods, or even one's own father, they are unable to do anything if one is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one who has fully taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet can be saved from the onslaught of material nature. Therefore, every living entity should be unattracted by material so-called happiness and should take shelter of the Lord by all means. That is the mission of human life. To be attracted by sense gratification is simply foolish. Whether one is a devotee of the Lord or is a non-devotee does not depend upon one's birth in a high or low family. Even Lord Brahma and the Goddess of Fortune cannot achieve the full favor of the Lord, whereas a devotee can very easily attain such devotional service. The Lord's mercy is bestowed equally upon everyone, regardless of whether one is high or low. And because Prahlad Maharaj was blessed by Narada Muni, Prahlad became a great devotee. The Lord always saves the devotee from impersonalists and voidists. The Lord is present in everyone's heart as the Supersoul to give the living being protection and all benefits. Thus the Lord acts sometimes as the killer and sometimes as the protector. One should not accuse the Lord for any discrepancies. It is His plan that we see varieties of life within this material world. All of them are ultimately His mercy. Although the entire cosmic manifestation is non-different, the material world is nonetheless different from the spiritual world. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord can one understand how the wonderful material nature acts. For example, although Lord Brahma appeared from the lotus seat that had grown from the abdomen of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, he could not understand what to do after his appearance. He was attacked by two demons, Madhu and Kaitaba, who took away Vedic knowledge. But the Lord killed them and entrusted to Lord Brahma the Vedic knowledge. Thus, the Lord appears in every millennium in the societies of demigods, human beings, animals, saints, and aquatics. All such incarnations are meant to protect the devotees and kill the demons. But this killing and protecting does not reflect any sense of partiality on the part of the Supreme Lord. The conditioned soul is always attracted by the external energy. Therefore, he or she is subjected to lust and greed, and he or she suffers under the conditions of material nature. The Lord's causeless mercy toward his devotee is the only means by which to get out of the material existence. Anyone engaged in glorifying the Lord's activities is always unafraid of this material world, whereas one who cannot glorify the Lord in that way is subjected to all lamentation. Those interested in silently worshiping the Lord in solitary places may be eligible for liberation themselves, but a pure devotee is always aggrieved to see others suffering. Therefore, not caring for his or her own liberation, one always engages in preaching by glorifying the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, had tried to deliver his crass friends by preaching and had never remained silent. Although being silent, observing austerities and penances, learning the Vedic literature, undergoing ritualistic ceremonies, living in a solitary place, and performing japa and transcendental meditation are approved means of liberation. They are meant for non-devotees or for cheaters who want to live at the expense of others. A pure devotee, however, being freed from all such deceptive activities, is able to see the Lord face to face. The atomic theory of the composition of the cosmic manifestation is not factual. The Lord is the cause of everything, and therefore He is the cause of this creation. One should therefore always engage in devotional service by offering respectful obeisances to the Lord, offering prayers, working for the Lord, worshiping the Lord in the temple, always remembering the Lord, and always hearing about His transcendental activities. Without these six kinds of activities, one cannot attain to devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj thus offered his prayers to the Supreme Lord, begging His mercy at every step. Lord Nrisimhadev was pacified by Prahlad Maharaj's prayers and wanted to give him benedictions by which Prahlad could procure all kinds of material facilities. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was not misled by material facilities. Rather, he wanted to remain always a servant of the Lord. Final chapter, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. This chapter describes how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadev, disappeared after pleasing Prahlad Maharaj. It also describes a benediction given by Lord Shiva. Lord Nrisimhadev wanted to bestow benedictions upon Prahlad Maharaj one after another, but Prahlad Maharaj, thinking them impediments on the path of spiritual progress, did not accept any of them. Instead, he fully surrendered at the Lord's lotus feet. He said, "If anyone engaged in devotional service of the Lord prays for personal sense gratification, he or she cannot be called a pure devotee or even a devotee. One may be called only a merchant engaged in the business of give and take. Similarly, a master who wants to please his servant after taking service from him is also not a real master." Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, did not ask anything from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, he said that if the Lord wanted to give him a benediction, he wanted the Lord to assure him that he would never be induced to take any benedictions for the sake of material desires. Exchanges of devotional service for lusty desires are always very prominent. As soon as lusty desires awaken, one's senses, mind, life, soul, religious principles, patience, intelligence, shyness, beauty, strength, memory, and truthfulness are all vanquished. One can render unalloyed devotional service only when there are no material desires in one's mind. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was greatly pleased with Prahlad for his unalloyed devotion. Yet the Lord provided him one material benediction, that he would be perfectly happy in this world and live his next life in Vaikuntha. The Lord gave him the benediction that he would be the king of this material world until the end of the Manvantara millennium, and that although in this material world he would have the facility to hear the glories of the Lord and depend fully on the Lord, performing service to him in uncontaminated bhakti yoga. The Lord advised Prahlad to perform sacrifices through bhakti yoga, for this is the duty of a king. Prahlad Maharaj accepted whatever the Lord had offered, and he prayed for the Lord to deliver his father. In response to this prayer, the Lord assured him that in the family of such a pure devotee as he, not only the devotee's father, but his forefathers for 21 generations are liberated. The Lord also asked Prahlad to perform the ritualistic ceremonies appropriate after his father's death. Then Lord Brahma, who was also present, offered many prayers to the Lord, expressing his obligation to the Lord for having offered benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj. The Lord advised Lord Brahma not to offer such benedictions to asuras as he had to Hiranyakashipu, for such benedictions indulge them. Then Lord Nrisimhadev disappeared. On that day, Prahlad Maharaj was installed on the throne of the earth by Lord Brahma and Shukracharya. Thus, Narada Muni described the character of Prahlad Maharaj for Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he further described the killing of Ravana by Lord Ramachandra and the killing of Shishupal and Dantavakra in Dwarapara Yuga. Shishupal, of course, had merged into the existence of the Lord and thus achieved a Sayujya Mukti. Narada Muni praised Yudhishthira Maharaj because the Supreme Lord Krishna was the greatest well-wisher and friend of the Pandavas, and almost always stayed their house. Thus, the fortune of the Pandavas was greater than that of Prahlad Maharaj. And that ends today's narration. And I see we have... Madan said was fantastic, great. I'm glad you liked it. Batuk has a question. Did Jai Vijayaj merged into Krishna or went back to their doorkeeper position? So they took three births. So each birth, like the first birth, as we just read, Narada said that having been killed, then they took their next birth as demons, then that third birth as demons. So after that third birth as demons, when they were killed, Shishupal and Dantavakra, then they returned to their posts in Vaikuntha, because the curse was three times, three births as demons. So after that, Shishupal and Dantavakra, they returned to their post as the doorkeepers in Vaikuntha. So I would like to do one final bhajan and then call it a night for tonight. The next webcast will be Saturday. Saturday will be the next webcast, which will be from the home of Krishna Kumar or Kundan Loka. That will be Saturday night, LA time, 6 o'clock, and you'll get your email invitation. So the next webcast will be Saturday at 6 p.m. Of course, I'm giving the Srimad Bhagavatam class in New Dwarka Friday morning. So if you're up early, Friday morning, I'm giving the Srimad Bhagavatam class from New Dwarka. And that will be webcast, but the big program is Saturday. So I'll do one more. Thank you, Batuk, Hari Bol. I'd like to do one final bhajan and then call it a night. So just bear with me, please. All right. Let's see what I can do. Let's see. Yes, DH, you stayed for the whole class. Oh, my God. All glories to DH. So, DH, since you stayed for the whole class, this final bhajan is for you. And thank you, Madan. Nice to have you on board, Madan. Very good. I'm just trying to find an appropriate bhajan to close up the thing for tonight. I want to find a nice bhajan. Let's see. I want to do something that I never do very often. This is perfect. So, since we have been hearing from Narada Muni this whole time, then I will do the Narada Muni bhajan, and I'm dedicating it to Divyesh, who stayed. For him, it's maybe 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Divyesh, you are wonderful. All right, so this is the song Narada Muni.
Narada Muni Bajaya Bina Radhika Ramana Name. Narada Muni Bajaya Bina Radhika Ramana Name. Narada Muni Bajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Nama Amani Uddita Hoy Vakkata Gita Same. Nama Amani Uddita Hoy Vakkata Gita Same. Narada Muni Bajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Hamiya Dara Varshe Gana Shravana Yugale Giya. Amiya Dara Varshe Ghana Shravana Yugale Giya. Bakata Janna Sagane Nache Boriya Apanahiya. Narada Muni Bajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Madhuri Pura Asava Pashi Mataya Jagata Jane. Kehova Kande Kehova Nache Kehoma Te Mane Mane. Narada Muni Bajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Hancha Vadana Narade Dhori Premera Shagana Ro. Kamalasana Nachia Bole Bolo Bolo Haribo. Narada Muni Bajaya Veena
Radhika Brahmana Name. Sahasra Nana Paramashuke Hari Hari Bolega Nama Prabhave Matilo Vishwat Namorasa Sobe Pai Narada Muni Bajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name Narada Muni Bajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name Shri Krishna Nam Rasane Spuri Puralo Amara Asha Shri Rupa Pade Yachaya Iha Bhakati Vinod Das Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name Nama Amani Udita Hai Vokata Gita Same Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name. No, I am playing the kartals. And this last song is for Madan. Okay, Madan, this is for you. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. If you can hear in the background, Varuni is singing in the back. Hari Haraye Namaha.
Hi.
That's all, folks. That's it. So Friday morning, New Dwarka class, and then Saturday night from Kundan Loka. That'll be the next two. All right, everybody. It's time to continue. Jai, thank you, Batuk. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari 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 Bol. All right, that's it. Okay.